Okay, so we're kind of starting a new thing here today. Kind of self-contained. Kind of. So basically, it's regarding the issue of harama, okay, tricking. Are you allowed to trick the halachic system? Okay? You'll say, of course not. Or what do you mean by that? So let's see.
Of course, yes.
Depends how good the trick is.
How do you say the word again?
Harama. Hey, ayin, resh, mem, hey. Ha-arama. Okay, trickery. So basically, the Gemara has a question. Okay? The Gemara has a question. Is, let's say, the halacha is that in order to cook, minatori, you're allowed to cook. This is just basic background. In order to cook, minatori, you're allowed to cook on Yontif to Shabbos. If Yontif's on Friday, you could cook for Shabbos. But the Rabbanan asur it. They say you're not allowed to do it unless you place an Erev Tavshilin before Yontif. Okay? However that works. Okay, you place an Erev Tavshilin before Yontif, then you're allowed to cook. If you don't place an Erev Tavshilin, you're not allowed to cook. Let's say you do cook anyways. You don't have an Erev Tavshilin, but you cook anyways. Is that food asur? Okay? Did the Rabbanan, as part of their gzera, they're not allowed to cook, prohibit the food which results from the asur cooking? Okay? That's what Gemara asks. Okay, it's basically the Gemara Yazayinim off at the bottom. Four lines at the bottom. Yiboilu, over va'afamai. If you're over, you violate, and you bake, what's the status of that food? Okay? What's the status of that food? So I'm going to jump, because I'm not doing it. I mean, in time, I'd like to take up this Gemara, but for now, I just want to do the Harama part, because it's relevant to our Gemara. So I'm going to jump now to Toshma, on the third line of Yazayinim base. Okay, and this is trying to attempt to answer the question now, what happens if you bake on purpose, even though you've amazed it, you bake even though you don't have an Erev Tavshilin. So it says Toshma Mishan Yech Erev Tavshilin Harize Ofim V'Vashel Matna. Okay, so if you place an Erev, you're allowed to do all these types of cooking. V'im Rotza La'Echol Etz Erev Or Shepiyoda. If you want to eat the Erev, you're allowed to eat the Erev. Okay. Achlo Achlo Afa Achlo Edmin. What's that, Aleph? Yeah. So if you eat it before you do this preparation, your preparation for Shabbos, right? Because again, your Erev is what permits you to prepare from Yontif to Shabbos. So you eat the Erev before you prepare, so then, how is it lo yafav, lo yivash, lo yadmin, lo lov, lo acherim, lo acherim, lo acherim, lo acherim, lo. So you can no longer prepare. Nor not for yourself, nor for others, nor could others cook for you. Okay, cook your food for you, I believe. Okay, but that's a side point. Aval mevashel hu liyamtov, but you're allowed to cook food for yamtov, right? On yamtov, you cook for yamtov. Imhosir, but if you have leftovers, also Shabbos, you could use the leftovers for Shabbos. So again, basically, it's analogous to not having an Erev, because you place an Erev, but you ate it. So now you don't have an Erev anymore. So now it's saying is, now that you ate it, you can no longer prepare for Shabbos. But you could prepare for Yontif, and if you happen to have leftovers, then there's no isser in the chafta of the food. The food is mutter to eat on Yontif, on Shabbos. Mugulvach lo yaren. But on the condition that you don't make a trick. Okay, well, what kind of trick does it mean?
Say it's for,
right.
For Yontif.
Exactly. Say it's for Yontif. Say, oh yeah, I got to cook for Yontif, and cook a whole big meal, which is not really for Yontif. And then you end up having, oops, look, I got leftovers. That you can't do. Okay, so if it's legit, if you really mean it, then it's okay. If you really end up having leftovers, that's okay. But you can't purposely have leftovers. Okay, then harem aser. And if you do purposely do this trick and say it's for Yom Tov, it's not really for Yom Tov, it's for Shabbos, then it's aser. So what does that prove? That what?
No.
What does it prove? What's the Gemara's original kasha? Remember, why is the Gemara bringing this price, huh? Was the original question. The original question was, if b'mezid, you cook on Yontif without an Erev, could you use it? Could you eat the food? So what's this proving?
Okay.
That you can't. Right? Because this is the case. So Harama basically is saying is that you're not really cooking it for Yontif, you're really cooking it for Shabbos. So you're cooking it for Shabbos, you're saying I'm cooking it for Yontif, but really you're cooking it for Shabbos. Now if that's Usr, it must be that if I cook food on Yontif for Shabbos, it's Usr. Right? Must be that cooking food on Yontif Shabbos asers the food.
After the fact.
Right? I did it on purpose. I did a trick. I said I was cooking for Yontif. but I really was cooking for Shabbos. So the Gemara says it's aser, food's aser. So you see, apparently, if you cook on Yontif to Shabbos, food's aser. But if the food were not aser, so then who cares? I am sensing you're not allowed to do this trick, but the Gemara also says if you did the trick, then the food is aser. But not an accident, on purpose. But you're picking up on something. The original question was not if you do it by accident, if it's on purpose. If you say, I didn't place an error, but I'm cooking for Shabbos anyways. Okay, so in this case, is if you do a trick, it's arguably analogous to cooking on purpose. They're both on purpose, right? So it's trying to resolve from here that if you cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos on purpose, so then it answers the food. Okay? But the Gemara answers, no. It says, Amar Rashi, Harama Kamrit. You're trying to tell me about harama, if the guy does a trick? If you do a trick, the rabbanon are even more machmir, more stringent than if you did it on purpose. Okay, because a trick is even worse. Yeah, okay, so what I'm saying is that really I'll argue to you that if on purpose, if you say, I don't care about Erev Tashil, I'm cooking out of the shops anyways, fine. The food's not going to be after. You're not allowed to do it. You're an avarion, you're a sinner, but it's the food will not be awesome. But if you do a trick, if you say, oh, I'm cooking for Yontif, and you really are cooking for Shabbos, then the Rabbanan are going to ask for the food. Okay, Harama is even worse than Mezid. Why is Harama worse than Mezid? How could it be worse than Mezid? Okay, so Rashi says. Okay, so Rashi says, Shiny Harama. Let me just read that Rashi for now. Really, I'll tell you, if you bake on purpose, it's permitted. Food's permitted. Aroma in a rayal account. The shiny aroma makes it. The aroma is different than makes it on purpose. The equal name, Achor Ravonim aroma tfeim makes it. Why? The ilu makes it rashahu. Lavral de rechachamim. If he's a makes it, he's just on purpose. He's a rasha because he's violating the rechachamim. No one's going to learn from him. Everyone knows he's the town rasha. No one's going to say, oh, if you did it, I'm going to do it. He's a rasha. Who asked him? Mesim alibo. Vishav, and not only that, he feels guilty about the thing. He knows he's amazed, he's purposely violating the thing. So it's a good chance he'll end up doing tshuva for it. Hilkach lo me'akra Torah's Erev. Therefore, you're not going to, the institution of Erev is not going to be uprooted by a guy who's going out on a mission against Erev. He's one guy, everyone discounts him, he himself feels guilty about it. That's not, I don't want to worry about that. Ava Myrim, but a tricker, Savor Lasos Behatar, he thinks he's doing it in a Behatar. He's saying, oh yeah, I'm doing it for Yantav. He's not going to ever do tshuva for it. And others are also going to end up learning from him. And it's going to turn out, what's going to happen is, you're not going to have an institution of Erev in a few years. It's going to turn out, everyone's going to be cooking for Yontif the Shabbos, and they're going to do this little trick. And they're going to think that all you have to do is say it's for Yontif, and then it's mutter. Therefore the Rabbanan were kenas. Made a kenas. Okay? So that's reasonable, right? The thing is that even if maybe really there's no Isser, there's no Isser Memeza, there's no real Kanas per se, but in Harama is a super dangerous type of a thing. Okay, tricks are dangerous. Because then's a guy who basically doesn't feel guilty, he thinks he's going to get away with it. Other people kind of look at him as being a good upstanding citizen, that's a guy who's really dangerous and you got to really go after Harama. Okay, that's a punchline. Okay, as you would think. I mean, Harama's bad, right? Tricks are the worst. A guy who's like a deceitful, that's the guy you really can't. You know, a guy who wants to, you know, go after you is one thing, but a guy who's a trick, you know, who plays some sort of a, pretends to be a friend and then goes after you, that's really the guy. You know, just in general, there's a sense to the idea of tricking is bad. Okay. Problem is pretty significant. Because we did this last week, but basically you have a question. Question is like this, is that it's open halacha, that you're allowed to cook on Yontif. You're not allowed to cook on Yontif for Chol. Yontif to the weekday, to after Yontif. But if I have a pot, I could fill up a pot of meat, okay? Fill it up all the way, and then put the pot on the flame and cook it, even though some of the food is made for Yontif, for after Yontif, because it's one action, so to speak, one action of cooking, of putting the food on the fire. That's one ma'aseh melacha, and therefore, the fact that there's other food which is being prepared is not, it doesn't matter. The maisa of malacha, it's a maisa of malacha tzarech yantav. Okay, and therefore that action is permitted. That's open. Okay, that's open. As a machlokas is, what about salting meat? If I have a lot of meat in like a bin or whatever, and I want to do is I want to salt the meat. So it's like, so to speak, could I salt? I only need one piece for yantav. Could I just, so to speak, salt and continue salting all the pieces of meat. So we said, the way we said it is like, do you look at that as like different actions? Because what you're doing is you're taking the action of salting and you're extending the quantity of the action. Okay, and it's the same action as one action of salting, but you are quantitatively extending it to more objects. Do you view that as one object, as one maisa, and therefore you say that's permitted? Or do you say, no, that many actions, and since there's many actions, that's not allowed. Okay? Fine. So, the first, the Tanna Kamma held, basically you could do that. Okay? You're allowed to do that. That basically counts as Shmuel. He says, you're allowed to do it, it counts as considered one salting, one action of salting, even though the quantity is extending, essentially just salting. So it's one action of salting, and therefore it's permitted. Rav Adda says like this. Rav Adda bar Ava, ma'arim u'malach garma garma. He did a trick. He did a trick, and he salted them one at a time. And Rashi explains, this is on Yalfun Beis, it's a short Rashi, but if you want to see it, Yalfun Beis. Ma'arim, la'achar shemalach zulach la'yom, after he salted this piece in order to eat it today, Omer chaverta arva alai lach la'yom. You know what? I like the other piece. Okay, he salted one piece for today, and that's perfectly legitimate. Then afterwards he says, nah, I don't really like that piece. I like the other piece. B'chozer mocha, and then he salted the other piece. Okay, and this way he ended up getting all his pieces. Okay, that was the way he tricked. He managed to, he did a harama, he had a trick. And thereby he ended up salting each piece. And each piece he said, oh, this is for today. Oh, this is for today. This is for today. Because he kept saying at each one, nah, I don't want that one. I want this one. So he did a trick.
Did he hold that doing it continuously would be awesome?
It's a good question. It would seem so, because otherwise why wouldn't he just do it continuously? Right? I mean, that's a good question. Either you have to go one of two ways. Either you say he held continuously doing this is permitted, then why is he doing this? I mean, then, now it's even worse, because continuously the reason it's permitted is because it's one action. Here he's doing different actions. And the second action and the third action is not really preemptive. Unless you'll say he held continuously is not mutter. And since, therefore, he couldn't do that in one fell, that one long action. He wasn't healed, that's not allowed. So therefore, he had to devise a trick. So he did this trick. The problem is, this is a trick. As Chaim said last week, is who's he fooling? Right? I mean, this is harama. This should be the worst thing. As we saw from the other Gemara, the harama is the worst thing, worse than mezid. And here we have Rav Adda and Amora, Rav Adda bar Ava, just tricking. Right? I mean, how is this permitted? Right? Problem. Okay? Too big of a problem for us to answer. Okay? You got to see the Rishonim deal with it. Okay? I mean, just sounds like a, you know, sounds just no openly wrong. So the Rashi and Tosas both deal with it. Okay. Right? It's like one of those questions, you know, someone has to take up. It's just hard to, you know, it's funny though, right there, I don't know if they tell you. You read that Gemara, but yeah, it's you read that Gemara, you can't figure it out. But then it turns out Rashi, by us, and our Gemara, it tells you about it. Where is that? Is it Aleph and Beis Mishnah? Yeah. It's a kind of crazy Gemara. It's at first. I know it's funny that no one explains to you how it's about there. You know, but Rashi over here does on your diamond base. I think Art Scroll I found it from. I think he cited it. But it just, you'd think someone there should say it. I mean, there's like no way you'd know that you know it. So Rashi is like this. So this is a back to our Gemara, which says you're not allowed to be Myra. Okay, our Gemara, the Yadayim of Beis, which says that you're allowed to bake, if you cook food on Yontif and you happen to have leftovers, the leftovers are permitted, as long as you don't do a trick. So Rashi says, Shelo Yaram, you're not allowed to do a trick. He says, this is Rashi, again, third line, Yadayim of Beis and Rashi. La'achar shabi shel tzorach Yontif, lomar oran yitzorach, lazman orchin. Right, after you finish cooking for Yontif, a guy could say, oh yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to have some gas and I'm going to cook some more. And then you're going to cook extra foods. And then it turns out we know after all there's no gas. You can leave them over to Shabbos. But in one pot, if you have a lot, then you could do that. Right? Oops. Okay, fine. So you're allowed to do that if you do it in one cooking. But if you do a trick, it's awesome. Le'echol, then you're not allowed to eat it. The Achmar Rabbanu, Bahamilsa, Shlalaka Tarasev. The Rabbanu Machmir, so that the institution of Erev isn't approved. The Lo Domi, La Rama, the Rav Adda Bar Ava. Okay, this is Rashi taking it up. It's not similar to the Rama of Rav Adda Bar Ava. Demalach Garma Garma. Where he salted, one piece of meat at a time. The In Ibur Be'ochon. There's no ibud. What's ibud?
Lost.
With an iron.
Tanning.
Okay. With an iron is tanning. So ma'abed is one of the malachos. One of the test malachos is ma'abed, which is tanning, which is like a method of preserving skins. You dry them out with the salt, and thereby you dehydrate them, and then they end up becoming skins and leather and whatever, and you can end up using them. Right, otherwise they're just going to rot, and you know, right. So this is preserving. So there's no ibud by foods. Okay, preserving a food, salting a food to preserve it is not the prohibition of tanning. Okay, tanning is by other items. Okay.
Isn't preparing rule? Isn't that
preparing? Well, oh, so he says imishum tircha, and if you'll say not exactly preparing, he says, and if you'll say. Because it's your, perhaps they're related, that you're being toreach, you're bothering yourself, you're involving yourself in a tircha, like in a bother for chol, right? Because it's not really for yontif, you're allowed to salt, right? But it's like a tircha, which is not necessary for yontif, not doing yontif. So you'll say, ah, you're not allowed to do that, which is true, you're not allowed to do that. Ha'adifa, this is better off to do this trick and to do it than to not do tircha. Dilma chas shalayis shechabasar, because perhaps a guy, if you don't allow the guy to salt all his meat, he's going to be worried lest the meat is going to become spoiled, right? You're going to slaughter a whole animal. The whole animal is going to be sitting there. It's going to spoil by the time the Yontif Shabbos, the whole deal's over. Umimna v'lo shachet, so out of fear for that, the guy's never going to have a shechet animal, right? And then he's going to not ever have any simchas Yontif, right? So therefore, they permitted you, or Ravada Rahava or something held it as permitted to shecht it and to salt it. Alright? In order so that, what's the other option? The other option is basically to let not even shecht it altogether. So therefore it's permitted. Okay? It's not so simple, but that's what it says. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so it sounds like Rashi's thing is that if they were Ibn Belchalim, if this were an Isra the Arisa of tanning food, right? So then there'd be no way Ravada would have been able to do his trick. Okay? And that's why over here, by cooking on Yontif Shabbos, it's a real Esser. And since it's a real Esser, you can't do Harama. Okay? And if you do Harama, then you got problems. But here, since the thing isn't really Esser, it's like that, there's no, it's not really Esser to preserve the meat. And the only problem is Tircha. The only problem is Tircha. And since the guy is going to end up not doing the Shechita in the first place, if you prohibit it for him, so therefore, Ravada Rava did it with this trick.
So maker, then it would be okay.
If he didn't do the trick?
It would just be regular Harama.
It sounds like maker then what?
Maker then it would be just like any other piece of Harama. The only considering factor is that if
it would be regular Tircha,
it wouldn't be.
It would be a regular case of Tircha. What sounds like, in other words, the problem is altogether, what's wrong with salting in the first place? The problem is Tircha. So you're saying it's fine. But Tircha, you're not allowed to do. It's Tircha, Shalot Tzarech Yontif. So you wouldn't be allowed to do it. But since, if he wouldn't do the Tircha, then he'd end up not shechting the animal. So therefore, it was permitted with Harama. Right? I mean, that's the formula. It's not, I'm just... Okay, that's a good question. So Matt's asking, he says, what's the difference between Tircha? Tircha, you'll say, is Darabanan. But cooking on Yontif Shabbos is also Darabanan. There I say, you're allowed to do it. So it sounds like he's holding Tircha is like less than a Darabanan even. Okay? Look, I'll show you. Look at the Gilei Nashas, Riki Vega. It's the Gilei Nashas on the bottom. He says, He says, V'mherem, V'mshem Tircha. Mashma, it's Mashma from Rashi. Deleka Shum Isser. Rak Tircha. There's no actual iser, it's merely a tircha. Okay, whatever that means. I mean, is tircha allowed? Tircha. Sounds like if you can't just say you're allowed to do tircha, because then why is Rashi have to bring in because maybe the meat's going to spoil? Just say tircha's allowed. But he's saying, it sounds like he means, sounds from Rashi, there's no technical, like, tsurasa iser. There's no formal iser. It's just like this overarching idea called tircha. Okay, and therefore that's what makes Rashi tech. And then the Rabbi Kibager says, though, but the kashali ho afshein ibud ba'ochlim mekom lakom adarabanan asar kedisa whatever. As he says, but it's not true. If you look at the sugya, you'll see it's not true. Is that ibud is asar adarabanan? by food. It's true, the Araiza is not Asar, but the Rabbanon is still Asar. And therefore, Matt's question is there. It's a real Asar Rabbanon, just like cooking for the job is a real Asar Rabbanon, and the whole thing doesn't work. That's his Kasha on Rashi. But that's, I don't really, what Tosus, we'll get into it, I don't really want to get into that, but what you see from what the Rikir is Kasha, that's how he's learning Rashi. Rashi's learning is it's not a technical Asar Rabbanon, like cooking for Yom the Shabbos, but it's a Tircha, which we have to explain what that means. And because it's Tircha, combined with the fact that your animal is going to get ruined, combined with the fact that you're doing harama, it's permitted. Okay, any other questions? Okay, good. So Matt asked a question. Is that fine? If you want to tell me that there's a first, whatever reason they're mocked at you, because otherwise the guy's going to lose his meat. Okay? For, I mean, that itself you have to explain, right? Okay, let him lose his meat. Tough break. Right? But whatever. It kind of makes sense. So you're worried about that. So tell him you're allowed to salt all these pieces of meat. Like, what are you doing by doing a trick? Tricks are not good. Okay? Tricks are bad. They're worse than mazes. Okay? Who are you fooling? What are you doing? All right, what's the point? You tell me it's mutter, tell me it's mutter. Don't pretend that you're doing it for yontif and then change your mind. What are you doing? Say it's mutter, say it's mutter. Say it's asar. Now people are going to think, this is the way you treat the halachic system. You just do little tricks. It's mutter, because the thing is mutter. And that should be it, period. Who needs to do this trick? Right? I think that's the main question here. Main question. The other question, would someone else want to say the other question? I mean, I kind of just lived to it. But why is this mutter? I mean, why is saying it? So it's only tircha. Like, what's Rashi doing? It's apparently, if it were real, it's the Rabbanon, so then it seems from Rashi that the fact that you'd lose your animal wouldn't really help. Right? Sounds that way. If it were real, Isser. If it were real, you would both them. If there was such a thing as you would, it sounds like it wouldn't work. You can lose your animal? Okay. Whatever. So, I don't know. Don't chuck your own animal, work it out. I don't know. Whatever. Right? But, you could have done it before Yom Tov also. We're talking about a guy who's kind of like stuck. Right? I think. Or maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe he wants a chef to have the freshest meat. Fine. But either way, apparently if it were real, Isser, it seems from Rashi, it wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't be matter. But since it's only tircha, which of course, what does that mean? Only tircha? What does that mean? Only tircha? There, combined with the fact that the guy's going to lose his animal, so we say, okay, fine. What's that combination? Right? What's the deal? Right? Forgetting about the Rama issue. The Rama issue is a big issue. But what's the idea in Rashi? Is that since it's only tircha, but that's what he's saying, is but when it comes to Isser Be'er Toshilin, that's a real Isser. It's realistic. There's no way to matter. Right? There's no way to matter. For instance, like this. It's like, Rashi has to answer why it is that you're not allowed to do a trick to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Right? That's what you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to say, I'm cooking for Yom Tov and then really do it for Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that trick. But you are allowed to do a trick to cook salt meat for, which is really for after Yom Tov, but to pretend and say it's for Shabbos, right? That's what to say it's for Yom Tov. That's what I should explain. Why you're allowed to do the trick over by this meat, and you're not allowed to salting the meat, but you're not allowed to do it by the cooking. So he's answering, it's like two parts to his answer. One answer is that if you don't let the guy salt his meat, he's going to end up not doing shlita on his meat altogether. Okay? Which you don't really have by the cooking. If you don't let the guy cook, he's not going to cook. Right? There's no analog. But also, it seems like he's saying is that by the salting, all it is tircha. But by the cooking, it's really an Isser D'Rabbanan. Somehow the combination of those two factors is what seems to make the difference. And the question is, what's the combination? What are all these factors? So Jonah asks, he says, what's the problem with tircha? Tircha, you think, is a guy doing... I mean, it's not clear what the issue is altogether, but it sounds like somehow, oh, you bet, tircha, I don't want to do it. But here, the guy's worried about his losing his meat, and he wants to do tircha. Right? It's not tircha. I mean, he wants to save it. He wants to save the meat. That's what he wants to do. So what's the problem? That's what you're asking. Okay, question. So I'm going with an approach similar to what Yehuda is setting up. And I guess as Yonah was amending it. And it's based on your initial question, I think. Is that the question is, what's the problem with tircha? Right, what's the problem with tircha? Right, and as the owner just mentioned, like you could do tircha for yantif, right? You could be tircha to do tzarchei only. You'll have salt and meat for yantif, So you don't say it's tircha, right? But I think the idea is that tircha, it's not a maisa eser. See, maisa eser like a malacha. There's nothing you can do about it. If for instance, salting meat, according to Rashi, salting meat were somehow like came under the prohibition of salting, of tanning, forget about it. You'd be dead. There's no way to do it. It's malacha. So you can say all you want about yantif, this, that. It's malacha, 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 the malacha, the rabbanon. There's nothing you can do. But tircha is a different problem. Tircha is like, it's almost like a lack in the kavod hayom, or in the idea, the simcha of the yom. It's like, today is supposed to be a day where you're involved in simcha and involving yourself in the ideas of yantif. And simcha's yantif. And here it is, you're involved in bother, toilsome, bothersome work, for not for yantif, right? Labor. So that takes away from the yom, takes away from the yom yantif, from the simchas yom, and presumably it's on Shabbos also, the oneg of the yom. It takes you away from the positive involvement in the yom. And that's awesome. It lacks in appreciation of the yom. And that's why, for instance, if I'm doing tircha for the yom, I sold the meat for today, that's perfectly fine, because that's part of preparing a meal. That's not tircha. And that's not even tircha. That I want to eat and I'm preparing the food. Tircha is where I'm saving up stuff for later, for next tomorrow, for next week, for next year, for whatever. There's no results in that. I'm just doing that. It's like there's no fruits of your labor. It's like some sort of long-term benefit, which is like in the back of your head, which you know you have to do. But that's not something you want to be doing, or that's not something which is enjoyable. It's a tircha. Right? It's a tircha. And that takes away from the yom. Yontif is not the day to do that labor. To do that on chol. Okay, but he's saying is in this circle, in this situation, if you don't do it, then you're basically not going to have yontif. You're not going to have sochus yontif. Okay, because if you didn't let a guy salt his meat, then the guy's not going to slaughter his meat. His animal, an animal is a big thing. And basically when you, but this is like, I guess you got to get into the mindset here, but it's basically, here you have an animal, say a cow, and you're going to slaughter it because you want to eat like a steak. But a cow has a lot of steaks. Now there's no fridge or no freezer, what are you going to do with it? Now the steak is going to, the whole cow, which is lots and lots of steaks worth, is going to spoil. So if you don't let the guy salt his meat, that's the way they used to do it, is they'd slaughter it, they'd eat whatever they want to eat, and they'd salt the rest. Okay, and it may be labor laborious and toilsome and whatever, but otherwise your meat is all gone. So basically, is the guy is not gonna slaughter a cow for one piece of meat. Okay, he's not gonna do that if he's gonna have to let the whole rest of the cow spoil. I mean, it's a major loss of money, and the guy in general, I don't say it's a certain tzaddikim or whatever wouldn't do it, but in general, the person's not gonna do that. Okay, so. So what's going to happen? So therefore, his salting is really in service of the Simchas Hayom, right? In a sense, he is salting for the Yom, because he's salting all those pieces in order that he could eat. He could have this one piece of meat for Yontif, right? It's not like, look, technically the meat which he's salting is going to be eaten after Yontif, but the purpose of the salting of those pieces is not that it's not. Directly for those pieces, it's that which enables him to salt to shecht his animal and to have some chayyam, right? So it's indirectly really the tzor chayyam. You don't say that salting is a design of the yom, because that salting is enabling the simcha of the yom. So just like I need to salt this one piece in order to eat on yantif, I need to salt these 50 pieces in order to eat on yantif, because otherwise a guy's not going to end up shechting and not be able to shecht his animal. So what's allowing me, enabling me to shecht my animal and to have some chesiyotif is the fact that I'm really doing it, that I'm going to salt all these other pieces. So therefore, since the Yisr is only tircha, and tircha means it's a bizarre of the yom, what are you doing? Why are you salting these pieces of meat today? What are you doing? Do it a different time. I'll say, listen, if I don't salt these pieces of meat today, I'm not going to have some chesiyotif. So that's not a bizarre of the yom. That's the cover of the yom, that I'm enabling myself to be able to have the thing in a similar manner to the salting of the meat that I'm going to eat today. So that's what he held. That's what Rabbi held, is that the salting, even though the salting directly is salting meat for tomorrow, since it's a salting which is enabling the Simchas Hayom, that's not a design of the Yom. Isser of Tircha is not a technical Isser, but it's an Isser based upon the Gavra's attitude towards the Yom. And this is not a bizayon of the Yom, on the contrary, it's enhancing, enabling the Simcha of the Yom. Okay, so far so good? Okay. So now the question is, fine, I have a math question. So then just do it. So what's he doing the trick for? Right, so just do it. Just salt the meat. Salt it all. Okay. Right. So I think what Yehuda started to say is good. Is that the problem is that it's very nice that in theory, theoretically you're saying the reason why I'm salting the meat is because of Yom Tov. But in the action itself, I'm salting meat for tomorrow. I have my one piece for Yom Tov, and now I'm just involving myself in salting meat for Chol. So it's true in my head, what really was going on is the reason why I was doing this, why I'm doing it is because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to have this one piece, and therefore, okay, fine. That's all nice, and that's history, and that's in terms of my motivation. But bottom line is, in the action itself, it seems like it's an action of preserving my animal for Chol, for tomorrow. So he held like, in the Asiyah itself, it partakes of the design of the Yom. And what Rav Ado held you had to do is to incorporate the Tzorah Hayom of the salting into the action of the salting these other pieces. Okay? Whereas salting these pieces really is motivationally, it's because of his Yom Tov, because of his Kavod Yom Tov. It is. It's because he wants to be able to eat his meat on Yom Tov. And that's why he's shechting the animal, and therefore he has to salt all these pieces. But he wanted to incorporate the hatter, the reason for the hatter, the idea of why it's not a design of the Yom, into the action itself. Because otherwise, it's like, that's history, and now he's just being vast of the Yom, he's just salting me for tomorrow. So he held that you have to incorporate the Tzorach Hayom into the action. Okay? And how did he do that? So I'm going to give you an answer, but there's going to be a problem still. But how did he do it? So he says, on every single piece of meat, he says, this salting is for today. Okay? Then he salted it for today. Then he went to the next piece of meat, and he said, nah, change my mind. This salting is for today. So it's like in every salting, but turns out that before every piece that he salts, he's basically saying, I'm salting this piece for today. So the idea that the salting is a salting Letzorach Hayom is present in every action of salting that he's doing. Now, it really is Letzorach Hayom in a certain sense, not in the sense that he's saying it exactly, because the meat is really, he's not going to really eat them for tomorrow, right? I mean, it's a trick. But the hatter is because the reason why he's shechting the animal and salting these things is in order so he can have his one piece of meat on Yom Tov. So there's a reality, I think, it really is a tzorchayim. But in other words, he wanted to incorporate the tzorchayim into the matir in order to, so to speak, indicate that the hatter is not because you're allowed to preserve your animal on Yom Tov. For instance, you may have thought of it is that I'm not allowed to salt, I'm not allowed to do tircha on Yom Tov, but I'm allowed to do it because otherwise I'm going to take a big monetary hit. That's not true. You're not allowed to violate the Isser because you're going to take a big monetary hit. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says it's because it's not that you're going to take a big monetary hit, it's that you're not going to end up doing Simchas Yom Tov. You're not going to end up slaughtering in the first place. So the heter is not to save your animal. Okay, so you don't lose the money. You have to lose the money. Tough break. That there is because the guy is not going to do it, and then he's not going to have covered Yom, Simchas Yom. So that there is because Tircha is Tircha, and it's a violation of Yom Tov. So you can't say you can lose the money. Okay, fine. So you have to, but you can't violate Yom Tov. But that there is because it is a covered of Yom Tov. The Tircha, it's not a violation of Yom Tov, it's a covered of Yom Tov. Not because I'm going to lose money, because otherwise I wouldn't be doing Simchas Yom Tov. So if you just allow the guy to preserve his meat, just straight up, so then he basically would think, or the impression would be, and impression matters here because it's about the covenant of the Yom, the impression is going to be that it's basically you're allowing him to be Mivazi Yantif in order to save his money, which is not true, that's not what's going on. So what Ravada did is he built the Heter, he made it clear in the salting itself that it's a salting Letzorach Hayom. And the heter is because of the Tzorach Yom Tov. So before every salting, he said, I'm salting this piece for Yantav. I'm salting this piece for Yantav. I'm salting this piece for Yantav. And but he's not. No, he changed his mind. So I'm salting this one. Now, you know what? I like this one. Now I'm salting this one for Yantav. So now in every single one, there ends up being the Tzorach HaYom. So the Heter being the Tzorach HaYom is incorporated into the action. But you'll ask me, well, you ask me. Well, I saw your face. Still, who are you fooling? Right? Very nice that he wants to incorporate the Tzorach Yantav into the thing. But when he solves that first piece and says, I'm salting this one, Tzorach HaYom, he knows well and good that it's not Tzorach HaYom, because he knows that in a second he's going to change his mind and say the next one is Tzorach HaYom. And then the second, right? So, I mean, it's very nice he's saying the words that this is for Tzorach HaYom, but he's not really the only Tzorach HaYom. So it's still a trick. So how is he really incorporating the Tzorach HaYom into the thing? I mean, just in words? I mean, is that, but what does that do? Right? It still seems to be, although it seems to be pointing in the right direction, if you want to push the issue, it doesn't seem to really be getting around the fact that it's all a trick. And who are you fooling?
Oh, is this going now? Yeah, okay.
Why don't we leave this question? Okay? And also do Tosfos. Because I think Tosfos, I don't think, learns the same as Rashi. Tosfos of Bovar. But I'll just tell you, if you read it quickly, you're going to think he's saying the same thing as Rashi. But then remember, I told you not to read it quickly. Okay? And then figure out, what is he saying? Okay? So Tosfos of Bovar actually are. It's a short little Tosfos. So again, first we have to answer this last problem on Rashi, and then to see if Tosfos is saying the same thing or not. Okay. In a certain sense, you could look at the salting of the other pieces as like the conclusion of his preparing his meat for Yantav. He's like, he needs to be done Yantav. The only way for him to eat meat on Yantav is to slaughter his whole animal. The only way he can slaughter all animals is if he preserves the rest of the animal. So it's like, that's all part of his preparing for Yantav, because he can't prepare for Yantav if you don't allow him to do the full process of preserving the animal. So it's like, it's all in service of his simple Yantav. Look, he'd say, listen, if you want, I won't salt that meat. I don't really need to shaft it all together. I don't need to have someone's yantaf. I don't need to look. I understand that, and I can't take this hit. So he's doing it in service of his simple yom. He's doing it because he knows the idea of simple yom, and that's the spirit in which he's doing it. So that's you don't say that's a bizon under the yom. It's because the sort of tircha is a break in the kavara yom. It's only otherwise you're right. It wouldn't work if it was like the technical tzuros iser. How does that work after the fight? Whatever. But it's because the guy's attitude in the yom. His attitude in the thing is that's just he's just cleaning up his pieces from his simple yom. So his simple yomtaf forces him to shech the animal and to be able to preserve it afterwards.
And you have to say that the salting is sort of part is definitely part of the process of the shechting. Sort of,
yeah, it's like it's part that. Of the processing, right? It's like cleaning it out, processing it. Right.
Yeah.
You're right. Right, but that's I think the way the guy views it. In general, the guy slaughters his meat and he salts it. That is not like an after thing. That's the idea, right? It's otherwise it's going to spoil.